Genesis chapter 1, please. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I want to thank God I believe in dispensationalism. You might say, okay, what does that mean, Pastor? What does dispensationalism mean? Dispensationalism, what that means is that throughout every time period, God had a different plan and a stage for men.
That's right.
That's why you're going to find out that a lot of the things that we do as a church in this day, in this age, it's totally different from how the Old Testament Jews practiced, where they were observing the Sabbath, where if you took God's name in vain, you were stoned to death, where they were conquering nations through the sword. Obviously, the church doesn't do that. You might wonder, why is that? Because God had a different plan set up for different groups of people at different time periods. And if there was no dispensationalism, then we can't see how God's plan worked with mankind and how men, all they have to do is look back at the previous stages, the previous plans, and see how they messed God up. And so God had to start anew. God had to restore. And that's why I'm excited to preach today's preaching. If you're not a dispensationalist, you're not going to enjoy today's sermon. But if you're a dispensationalist, if you believe in this doctrine, you're going to enjoy what I'm going to preach to you today. What are you going to preach about? I'm going to preach out how you always messed up on God. And how God always works things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
In every dispensation, you'll notice it always ends with apostasy.
Yeah.
But God is always at the end to work something better for his good. I hope that today's preaching will be a blessing to you, because I'm sure a lot of you could use some encouragement today.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I need the power of the blood. I need the power of your Holy Spirit. I need the power of your word. I need the power of your might. And it, as that verse says, it is not by might. It is not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I want to honor you from Genesis through Revelation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you notice, in Genesis 1, God started his first plan. And he made everything good. If you read the entire chapter, you're going to find out that God, he made everything good. Look at verse 31, please. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And God, that's what he does in your life, is that he always makes things good. He makes things perfect. I mean, he saved your soul from a burning hell. How much gooder can it get than that? He gave you a mansion up in heaven. How much gooder can it get than that? He's going to give you streets of gold to walk on. How much gooder can you get than that? He gave you a Bible-believing church to go to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's so different from the lost, wicked world that influenced you to do the wrong things. How much gooder can it get than that? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ, he promised that he will rapture you, free you from this prison and this body, this cage of sin? How much gooder can it get than that? Nothing can get gooder, better than what God has prepared and planned for us.
Yeah.
It was very good. Nothing can be better than what God has prepared for us. And you know, when God creates everything good, we always mess things up. I mean, as soon as you got saved and you go to church, you're on fire, you're like, man, I want to serve Jesus Christ. Man, I want to try to get a clean Christian household. Man, I want to start reading the book and start praying and start, I want to know how to witness to other people, how to get saved. Will you help me out? And then we had that passion, we had that love and desire. Everything seemed to be perfect at San Jose Bible Baptist Church. But then you give it a couple weeks and a couple months, and then this flesh kicks in. And then Satan starts whispering in your ear. And then you got your old habits returning. You got persecution from your loved ones and family members. Busyness from work arise. And then discouragement seeps at your heart. And then you know what you do? The perfect you that God had planned, you just messed it up. And then what happens is that from skipping one service turns to months and then 2 years. What happened to a fervent desire to read the word now just turned to a cold stare watching television and the internet. What happened to going to church now turned to going to work. What happened to laughing and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ turned back to the wrong conversations and worldly conversations with your lost friends and family members. What happened to that? You messed it up. And then what did God do? He tried to pick you back up again. What did God do? He sent a sermon in your heart, a new song to sing, and then reminded you. And he sent down that chastening rod so that you can get back up again. And then you say, oh God, I messed it all up. And God says, no, my mercies are made new every morning. And he sets up a new plan all over with you again. Get back on the saddle. Get back to church. Get back to reading the book. Get back to with the brethren. Get back to my word and get back to serving God. And you know what? You let God down again. And you know what God will do every single time? He will pick you back up again. Do you know why? If we look at the evidence from Genesis to Revelation, God always is on the throne picking up mankind all over again. That's why I'm so excited to preach to you this message. I'm going to tell you about how mankind. Oh, we talk so great about mankind. This wicked world just says, oh man, you're such a wonderful person. We can do it. I can. I mean, if you want Jesus, that's fine. If you don't believe in Jesus, that's fine. If you're an atheist or a Buddhist or a Catholic or a Mormon or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, it's all good. It's mankind. It's humanism. We will conquer. Let's all unite. Let's all build a tower that will reach up to heaven. And you know what happens? Mankind always messes things up. You talk so great about mankind. You know what I'm happy about? How I can talk bad about mankind. How I can trash mankind and say how wicked and how dumb and how much we let God down. You might say, that don't sound very positive. You know what sounds positive? That I don't have to depend upon myself but on Jesus Christ. Amen. That sounds very positive to me. Where I can empty myself. Where I completely humble myself and say, nothing of me, Father. It's all you. I want to talk good about God. I want to talk great about God. But how many times have you seen Ellen DeGeneres talk great about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have you seen CNN and Fox News talk great about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have you seen even our past President Obama, our current President Trump? How many have you seen our current preachers today talk great about the holiness, the sovereignty, the greatness, and the magnitude of our God Almighty? Or do preachers today like Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, and many others talk great about you, and you? Today I'm going to preach you an absolutely positive sermon that's totally different from what you're going to hear from churches. The positive sermon is I'm going to trash you and raise up God. I'm going to trash you and raise up Jesus Christ today. And you're going to feel so great. You're going to feel so positive. You're going to feel so good. You know why? Because all you're doing is resting on Jesus Christ. This weak little worm, pathetic sinner who's corruptible and who's going to turn into dust. All he has to do is just relax and rest on Jesus Christ. Doesn't that feel good? All right, I'm so excited to preach to you. Let's talk about the first man who messed up. Let's talk about Adam. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect paradise and everything was great. It was so perfect, they didn't know what sin was. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the access to give them knowledge of what sin was, what's good and evil. And then you know what Satan did? That serpent slithered and then whispered in Eve's ear, "He shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. For God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be open, beholding good and evil." Satan, he offered something better to Eve, thinking that she would think that this is better for her. And you know, that's the problem with Christianity, is that you Christians, you have the devil whispering in your ear, offering you that fruit. And here you are, everything is great in your blessed assurance, and God has been good to you, provided all your needs. And you think that there's something better out there that the world has to offer. And Satan, he offers you a piece of fruit. And it's so amazing that mankind, will throw away God's perfect plan and His working in your life just for a piece of fruit, just to taste the pleasure of sin for a season. How many of you are a testimony and evidence that after eating that fruit of sin, that it didn't get better? How many of you are evidence that it was only pleasure for a season? Amen. How many of you can testify that all you felt was guilt, further depression, and misery?
Yep.
How many of you can testify that after eating that fruit, then your eyes weren't open, your eyes just blinded even further, and then got you down further downhill into a road that's almost at a point of no return? And that's what sin does, and you can imagine Satan doing that to you right now. He probably did that to some of you yesterday and the past previous weeks. But you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You let God down. You ate the fruit. And you motivated other people to eat the fruit with you, like Eve. Eve made Adam eat the fruit with her. And here are some of you getting other brothers and sisters in Christ to follow the same path that you did by your example. And you feel bad about it. You feel let down. And then God, He starts to judge you and He says, what's your problem? And what do? You start to make excuses, right? When God lays down His chastening rod on you, don't you just make up excuses to God. God, I'm just too busy. God, you know that sin is too hard for me. I was born at a drug addict home. God, you know how much depression I'm going through in my life, so you got to understand why I would yield into sin that day. God, you know why I went back to my old lover, even though that lover is bringing me down to the wrong path. You know why I went back to the old friends, that old crowd, even though I know that they were in the wrong. Because God, it's so hard to be alone. It's so hard to serve Jesus Christ. And God, you got to understand, isn't that what we all do when we get caught? Isn't that what we all do?
Yeah.
When we all get caught, we make up excuses and good reasons and even spiritual reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we don't put the blame on ourselves. We like to put the blame on God unconsciously. You're not saying that consciously, but unconsciously, indirectly, you want to put the blame on God. Like Adam, the woman that thou gavest to me, she gave me the fruit and I did eat. God's like, are you blaming me? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, Lord, that I had a very good reason. My wife gave me the fruit. I didn't even see it all that time. Isn't that what we all do? What we all do is we indirectly blame the Lord. The life is too hard. So you're saying that God's plan, that He has a fault somewhere? Are you saying that God gives you a burden greater than you can bear? Aren't you indirectly blaming the Lord for your faults when you got to realize it was all on you?
Amen.
I mean, we already see Genesis 1 and we can just stop right there about mankind. Genesis 1 is mankind. Genesis 1 is everything about mankind even today. Your Bible is not old-fashioned and out of date. It is current, up to date, repeating you. It's a reflection of you. And you know Adam and Eve, they sinned, they messed up. And you know what God had to do? Sin must be paid for, friend. Don't you remember when you let God down and now discouragement seeped in because now you're reaping what you've sown? And then now sin has a price to pay and you must be hurt. You must be judged. You must be punished. Everything that seemed to be flawless now had flaws in them. Every goal and plan that you planned out in your life now falls to pieces. Why? Because sin must be paid for. Satan must have his payment due. If he's going to make you bite it, he's going to make sure that he gets a reward out of it. Isn't that what happened to you? Isn't that what's going on with some of you probably right now where you're being judged for your sin and sin has such a heavy price that it's bringing you down? It's bringing your loved ones down? Oh, that hurts. It is so up to date. God told Adam and Eve the whole world now is going to face starvation, famine, disease, sickness. You have to work for your own food, your own clothing. You have to take care of everything. You never knew what sickness was, Adam, but now you're going to feel like what it's like to get sick. You never knew what depression was, Adam, but now you're going to feel those sorrows kicking in. You never knew what death was like, Adam. One day you will die and turn to dust. And now that dispensation at the Garden of Eden, that dispensation fell apart. God's plan, boom, for mankind. Boom. Folded. God, I want to go back. And God says, no, you can't go back to the garden. Don't you want to go back to the garden? I come to the garden alone, yeah, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, talks with me, and tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Get me back to the garden, Lord. And weren't you at a point where God says, no, you can't come back to the garden anymore? Weren't there points in your life where God, he can't give you back the blessing anymore? Where God, he can't put you back in his original plan anymore. Where God says, nope, you have to suffer the consequences of your sin. Will you please repair my home, Lord? And God says, no, that home will be broken. Lord God, will you please give me back my job? And God says, no, you can't get your job back. Lord God, can you give me back my friends? And God's like, no, those friends are gone. You want to go back? God can forgive you. He can forgive you. But he can't sometimes restore you back to your original place. You ever thought about that? Sometimes he doesn't do that. And it hurts your heart. It breaks your heart. And then you're like, what can I do then, God? What can I do? And as that dispensation folds and ends, you're like thinking, it's over. There's nothing good about this. Nothing to go back. And then you know what God does? You know what God does? I'll tell you what he does. Look at the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. What did God do? In verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make what? Coats of skins and clothed them. Can I get back to the garden, Lord? And God says, no, you can't get back to the garden. Is there any hope out there then for me? Why, sure there's hope for you, Adam. And God says, you see that innocent lamb right there? And Adam says, yes, Lord. And then God says, bring me that lamb. Adam gives the sheep to the father. And the father, you can imagine, he's petting that sheep. And Adam and Eve, they love that sheep. It's so innocent. It's one of the dearest animals that Adam had the honor of naming. And all of a sudden, God takes a knife and slits its throat. And then all of a sudden, Adam and Eve, their heart breaks. And they melt as they see that innocent lamb shedding its blood. Innocent die. And then Adam said, what are you doing, Father? And God says, what I'm doing, child? And then God, he starts to skin that lamb. And then Adam and Eve are like, what are you doing, Lord? And God says, this is what judgment of sin is like. But my wrath and all of that suffering that the lamb has to go through, the lamb will be your scapegoat. It will replace your sin. Innocent will take your place because sin has to be paid for. You know what your problem is? You know what mankind's problem is? You think that as soon as you sin, you don't get payment. You don't get absolute hurt. There is such hurt. You got to understand there is such hurt, heavy price to pay for sin. There must be payment and judgment, heavy judgment for sin. And because of that, that's why you can rejoice on somebody else who took that wrath, that judgment, that price for you.